Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune in to Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. It's our last one for this week. Program note. Next Brad and Brit cast will be next Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
Gotcha. All right.
Pending something.
It's good because I got a guy. I got a guy looking at my roof on Monday.
Before we get to things that matter, I have a beef. I have a beef with the world. I have a beef with social media. You know how if I ran the world, I would ban certain things.
Yeah.
Okay. I would ban people posting birthday greetings to dead celebrities. Like today, like if Steve McQueen, okay, yeah, big movie yeah star, but he's been dead for, I don't know, 30 years, whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Steve, happy 109th to Steve McQueen. No. It's got to stop.
You know, that's the sister or the cousin of the radio people that would do celebrity birthdays and shit like that. It's like the same. It's almost the same thing.
And was that oppressive?
No, yes. It was terrible.
Was it irritating?
If you'd like to broadcast to the world what a hack you are.
Yeah. It was oppressive.
You give a shit.
By Melissa, the way,
Melissa Gilbert, 58 today. Who gives a shit? I don't know her. Yeah. She doesn't know me.
Right. But the husk of a hack of a local newspaper that I get every day, the News and Record now, in their sports section now, they devote about a quarter of a page every day to this day in sports history crap. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, on this day in 1966, Roberto Clemente farted in the locker room and it was evacuated in 25 seconds, a record that's never been eclipsed. That's why Roberto's in the Hall of Fame.
I remember that fondly. I was just a young lad listening to KDKA and I heard the bulletin about Roberto Clemente farting.
Yeah. And a lot of people thought that Hank Aaron was the king of farts of that era, but it really was Roberto.
He was the most prolific farter, and you can look it up. It was Roberto Clemente.
It depends what book you read. All right, I want us to pick up first on something that we noticed yesterday, which is the red splotches.
Yes.
On Trump's hand.
Yes.
Because, boy, this has spawned a million conspiracies. These are the kind of conspiracy theories that you really can get your bloody hands around. Here we go. One guy, too many jelly donuts. Somebody else, ketchup from last night's McDonald's run.
Is it ketchup? These are like,
a couple red spots and a kind of a mark on his hand. He tried to do his own hair with a curling. He burned himself. I hope Trump's tiny hand gets better soon. Uh-huh. On and on it goes. But the king of the conspiracy theories on this is the man who really was one of the architects of Bill Clinton's 1992 election victory. From LSU, James Carville. Go, James, go. Come on, baby. Bring it.
If you go to the Drudge Report, and I think it'll still be up, there's a story that talks about Trump having hand cuts, and you can link to it. They don't look like cuts to me. They look like sores. And I've asked a number of MDs what medical condition manifests itself through hand sores, and the answer is immediate and unanimous. Secondary syphilis. All right. I think there's a good chance this man has the clap. And I'm not being particularly secretive about it. I am texting the photo. You can link to it. It's in some operation called the Daily Mail or some British thing. It's probably a Fleet Street rag, but you know, maybe the picture was doctored or whatever, but Maybe it's going to go somewhere. Maybe it won't. But I'm telling you, at 1 o'clock Eastern, I'm humping this thing like a young dog on old furniture.
There you go.
I just want to ask you, how many doctors do you think he asked? 20? 25? How many do you think that James Carville actually polled to get that?
See, once again, you wrecked the bit.
I wrecked the bit.
You wrecked the bit by looking for a literal interpretation.
I've never heard.
You killed the bit.
Well, no, it still lives on.
You can't just go with it. You can't just go with it.
No, I'm happy with him being. I've never heard of that being a condition or a symptom of syphilis. But I'm here for it. I think it's great.
Oh, so you're playing? Thou doth not protest too much because thou doth pretend thou doth know anything about syphilis.
I don't. I mean, you've got a medical doctor that you're is in the house with you. I don't know if she's ever treated that condition. Is she? Did you happen to poll her?
No, let's not drill down on that part of it. Let's just have fun with it. It's a fun story, Britt. It's not a, well, is Carville's medical dispensary working correctly for us here? That's not it.
I just find that funny.
But you didn't find it funny because you wanted the names of all 20 doctors, right?
I don't think he, and I don't care if he did or not. I'm also on board with the idea that this guy has syphilis. I think that's funny. I think that's hilarious. I'd like to know who he got it from. I'd like to know if it could kill him. Will it kill him? Can it kill him? Let me
take it to the next level. All what we just said. What did Al Capone die of?
It was syphilis. I mean,
but and who compared himself several days ago to Al? I'm ready. I think he did. Alphonse Capone. Have you ever heard of him? That's my favorite thing when he degrades everyone listening to him.
Alphonse
that loves him, and he asks, "Have you ever heard of him?"
You know, does he still have privileges to go to Walter Reed? Could they wheel him up in that one of those black SUVs to Walter Reed and dump him off again so he get treated for this?
I think he'd have to be Bubble Boy. I think they'd have to wrap him.
Bubble Boy. And you know, the funny thing about it is, like, usually he would go on a rant on Truth Social, like stupid James Carville, who is a dumb piece of shit, doesn't know anything. And he hasn't said anything. He hasn't gone off on Truth Social on one of his rants about this.
Don't you think that our original idea on this is probably most likely one? You know, he did bang the table in the courtroom, right? He did bang the table in the courtroom. And the other theory, which I think really actually kind of makes sense, he's a 78-year-old guy. What happens to 78-year-old people? They fall a lot.
Yeah.
They don't always get catastrophic hip injuries every time they fall. But to break your fall, you know, you put your hand out, and if you're lucky, you just break the fall, but you will have a few cuts and bruises. So I think those to be as serious as this story doesn't deserve.
No.
Seriousness. I think it'd be one of those two things.
There's a lot of STDs. They call them something else now. They've gone away from STDs. But anyway, there's a lot of those that go around in nursing homes because old people are just going crazy. Yeah. They're just doing. But he's not in a nursing home. It'd be nice if he was. I'd like it if he was in a nursing home.
Oh, somebody else suggested it could have been some red ink that bled off of secret documents that he shouldn't have been handling yesterday.
It says here, tertiary syphilis is a form of progressive dementia, also termed as general paresis, paretic neurosyphilis, or dementia paralytica. Generally, it develops 10 to 25 years after onset of the infection.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I would think when you have a world-class doctor like, let me just pull a name out of my hat, Ronnie Jackson at the White House, he would have been able to detect something like that and treat it, don't you think?
Camera. Dog. Whatever.
Ronnie Jackson was a drunk who really wasn't interested in being a doctor and just signed off on anything, saying the president was the healthiest man in the history of humanity. That's another theory.
I think Trump said yesterday again, he played the, you know, I would live to two he said, I would live to 200 if I didn't eat fast food or something to that effect.
Well,
okay. And so that's a, you know, that's another version of the, you know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself.
Yeah. Can I immediately send in a gift card to McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's?
And about 50 other places. Send one of those little lifetime things.
Yeah, one of those little gold cards.
I think two people I know that have those are Warren Buffett. Mitt Romney has a lifetime.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here's the list.
All right.
NBC censors the new Jesus. NBC censors C.J. Stroud for thanking the other Jesus. World comes to end. That's all one wonderful story. More Alina Habba bullshit in court.
Right.
The real difference between Democrats and Republicans. The real difference. Another disingenuous interpretation and distortion on the immigration bill. And hello, Joe. Welcome to North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that one first. Let's start semi-local and stay semi-local as the president making a visit to what we call the Triangle.
He's coming to North Carolina for the first time since he took office, which offends me so much, I may vote for Trump.
This is the last time.
Now that I find this out, okay. I mean, how many times has he gone to Pennsylvania?
Wouldn't it be great if he's there and the reporters are shouting questions at him? Somebody goes, sir, do you think Donald Trump has syphilis?
Biden is in North Carolina almost as we speak here in the 1:30 to 2:30 hour on Thursday. And he will announce $82 million in new investment to expand internet broadband to 16,000 more North Carolina homes and businesses, moving closer to his goal of ensuring that all Americans have reliable and affordable internet access by 2030, which, if you'd like to boil down what that actually means, that means that just this one announcement of this one bit of infrastructure improvement is more than Donald Trump did in 4 years as president. But will anyone else except us figure that out? No.
Wow.
And well, think about it.
Is that right? Actually true? That's an actual real. Yeah. Well, repeat that. Cause that's a mind blower.
Well, no, this is off of the top of my head. Unless you can name an infrastructure project that Donald Trump was actually able to go to and announce, besides ones that failed miserably, like the phony Foxconn plant in Wisconsin. Remember that one? Yeah. Oh, I was going to and you know, that's now a goddamn parking lot. Okay, Foxconn still makes its phones over in China. They don't make them here. So he did nothing, and this is real. There are people who live in areas where there's no internet access, and I'm sure this is part of the, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is, you know, building more infrastructure so more people and businesses can be efficient because they'll have the internet. There's nothing wrong with this, but I'm sure there'll be somebody that just is offended by him just being here. That being said.
Right.
I don't think this singularly will turn poll results around right now, but it's still a good thing. He's, you know what? This is the old Bill Clinton, put your head down, keep doing the job.
Exactly.
While they're throwing mud at each other or feces at each other like monkeys in the zoo over there, which is what Republicans are doing. So.
This is real. I mean, honestly, it's sad that infrastructure doesn't win elections, because if it did, he'd be up 80 to 20. I mean, my God, when you look at the actual infrastructure record, like you just talked about, it's definitely more than that has been done, I think, since I was born.
No, this is the biggest public investment in all kinds of stuff, roads and bridges, and now you have to include internet access along with stuff like that since the New Deal. And then you can throw in the interstate highway system in the 1950s and 60s with Eisenhower.
Right.
And you remember how long it took them to I don't even think the interstate highway system is officially complete yet. It's like
probably right.
Sort of
probably.
Never complete because even where we live, it took them, 55 years to build, 785, whatever they call it around our city. So, and that's the interstate highway system in a way. But good. We're happy to have you here, Joe. Although having a couple of famous barbecue joints in Raleigh just closed recently. A few. Yeah.
It'd be nice if he was able to get some, but I don't know if the area is.
I don't want internet access. I want my barbecue joints to stay open.
What are you going to do about that, Joe? Yeah. Well, at least maybe they can get him to some good ice cream, some good local ice cream. I know he's a fan of the ice cream.
Yeah. Nice and cold here, though. It's not one of those days.
Oh, yeah, it is freezing. I bet you he's one of those guys that eats ice cream on a cold day. That's the kind of guy Joe Biden is.
One of those guys, yeah. All right. Let's go with the NBC censorship crisis.
Yeah, I want to hear
this. This is a crisis, which of course means it's a fake crisis.
Correct.
But here we go. After the football game, where the Houston Texans rubbed out the Cleveland Browns, just ran them off the field. This is Melissa Stark interviewing C.J. Stroud, the star of the game. And here is the original video, or actually it'll be audio for us. And this is a pretty, it's about 20 seconds or so of C.J. Stroud. And this is the entire clip. Listen very, very closely to the religious references here. Here you go.
Your first record-setting performance for you. What does this moment mean?
First and foremost, I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's been amazing being in this city for as short as I've been, but the love that I've got. I've really just been doing it for Houston, man. People back home, I'm blessed enough to be in the position I am and blessed enough to be playing at a high level right now. And we got to just keep it going, but I'm super blessed.
So many of your teammates contributed in this victory. How were you able to find so many targets?
Just the hard work we put in our practice. There's no me without my teammates, my O-line, my tight ends, my running backs, my receivers, my defense. We all put it together. When you play in Copper Murray football, we're going to be hard to beat.
Okay. All right, there you go. That's essentially it, okay? Now, they took that clip and sent it out on their own site, on their social media site. NBC did later. And the charge is you will suddenly hear no religious references for the most part. Same moment, same interview. And right after she asked the question, I don't know if you can tell that there's an edit there, but that's where the original edit occurs. Here you go.
Your first NFL season and a record-setting performance for you. What does this moment mean?
I mean, it's been amazing being in this city for as short as I've been, but the love that I've got. I've really just been doing it for Houston, man. People back home, I'm blessed enough to be in the position I am and blessed enough to be playing at a high level right now. And we got to just keep it going, but I'm super blessed.
Okay, so no Jesus reference there. So, of course, the internet exploded over that. Oh, my God, it's the end of the world. So here is the question. Do they have an obligation to not do any editing there? Is this really a thing? This is not about, and I, by the way, I can't stand players who have a good game who give credit to Jesus because I don't see Joe Flacco, the losing quarterback, blaming that loser fucking moron Jesus for costing us the game. I never hear that, but okay, I'll go with the fact that he's thankful at this moment. But Jesus disappoints a lot of players every year because only one team out of 32 ever is able to say at the very end, thank you, Jesus, for making me the Super Bowl champion.
There was a There was a comedian back in the 80s that did have the bit to go, yeah, we were doing great until Jesus made me fumble in the fourth quarter. He did do that bit. I can't remember the guy's name. It was Jeff something or other. He went on to write for several other shows. I don't think they're obligated. I think it's probably just better to go ahead and let it ride. And I don't understand what I'd like to go through what the decision-making process was on editing it out. Yeah.
You're giving them the sword.
Correct.
You're giving them the sword.
Correct.
I think.
And I don't know. Again, I don't know if this goes through a producer. I don't know. It seems to me there should be a couple of people on the decision-making process before we start doing that, because it creates an unneeded and unnecessary shitstorm like this. So, yeah, I don't know what the point of all that was. I don't think anybody got their feelings hurt by hearing the name Jesus or thinking that C.J. Stroud gives credit to Jesus for his career. I personally have always in my life thought that Jesus was bigger than a slogan or a coffee cup or a T-shirt or a bumper sticker. That's just me.
And this is why I bring it up, not because it bothers me one way or the other, but because, you know, one of the Donald Trump things that keeps coming back up over periods of time, it's periodically reappears, and it just did. It's they need to take away their license. And the other day it was, they need to take away CNN's license and MSNBC's license, which, by the way, they don't have a license to be taken away. But that does not matter, right, Britt? Because
what license? Yeah, what license is it we're taking away?
It doesn't matter, Britt, because people who follow Trump slavishly think that the government allows MSNBC and CNN and Fox to be on the air, and they're just thankful that they haven't taken away Fox's license yet. Okay, yeah. They only so after Trump wins the caucus the other night, MSNBC decides they're going to protect us from Trump's lying in front of the cameras like he always does. And you knew he was going to lie right after he was getting out there to talk after the win in the caucus. And they didn't broadcast 1 second of his victory speech live. And Rachel Maddow said, well, we'll let you know if there's any news made while he's speaking. There's a reason we and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump. It's not out of spite. It's not a decision that we relish. It's a decision we regularly. Okay. So now that, this is another NBC story, right?
Mm.
And so the end of the world over that one, too. CNN did what they often do, which is they start to run it. And then about halfway through, when Jake Tapper's hair gets lit on fire, they cut it, and then they go immediately to a fact check. Kind of like that. That's all right. But again, if they don't run his speech after he wins a caucus, and assumedly they're not going to run him after New Hampshire. He's probably going to win New Hampshire. Although if he came in second, they'd definitely run, right? Because it would be such classic losing his mind, and it would be such fun to hear him lie. They might run it, but have they painted themselves into a corner where they can't run anything? I don't know.
Well, this gets back to what we talked about the other day about how the networks have apparently not learned anything from 2016 and 2020, and they really don't know.
They would say they have learned. They would say they have learned, well, and we're not going to give him the freedom to just get up there and lie his ass off, which is what he did, by the way.
That is accurate, but it's also, as you pointed out, and as we've seen from the results of the Iowa caucus, they called the thing early and people got pissed off because they called the thing early. They did horse race shit. They did all of those things that they did when he was just a regular candidate back in 2016. We just have to examine him as dispassionately. I still don't think they exactly know how to handle him. And the stuff about him going nuts after losing in New Hampshire would be hysterical, but it would also be part of the problem. You know, if you give Baby Huey some attention during his tantrum, he's just going to continue his tantrum forever.
Well, what they'd say is, oh, you'll run it if he loses. You won't run it if he wins.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
That's what they'll say.
I mean, and as far as like you only like trying to cut him off before he lies, he's not, he always lies. There's no point in time where you got a director or a producer looking at him going, yeah, tell him the truth now. He's telling the truth now. Still telling the truth. Still telling the truth. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen when that guy talks. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie.
Mercedes Schlapp, a well-known figure in conservative circles, joining the criticism. She accused Rachel Maddow of engaging in Marxist propaganda.
Oh, stop.
No. By choosing not to broadcast Trump's speech live, accusing the anchor of censoring a political candidate.
Now that's accurate. MSNBC specifically, was this on NBC News or was it on MSNBC?
MSNBC.
Well, they're not obligated to do his shit. They're not obligated to do anything with him. Get out of my face. Is Fox obligated to, like, if when Joe Biden wins the South Carolina primary, if he makes a statement, are they obligated to run that?
Well, they should, but let me be more precise because you brought up the name Joe Biden. Joe Biden does a lot of his speechifying in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
He makes sometimes 15, 20 minute, half hour speeches in various locations. I don't have I'm turning the TV on here right now. If they're picking him up live in Raleigh on the infrastructure thing, I can guarantee you that MSNBC and CNN likely will run Joe Biden live right now in Raleigh, and Fox will ignore it.
Yeah.
Okay. And Joe Biden is the current president of the United States. So if you wisely brought up this idea, let me, pardon me for doing this right here, but let's go with it. Let's look at CNN. Just see if by chance
you look at CNN. I'm going to look at MSNBC.
Yeah, CNN. No, because he might not be there yet.
I think he got off the plane, but I don't know if he's actually speaking.
Yeah, he's not. Yet. He's not there yet. But in an hour or an hour and a half, wherever he is, we'll notice this and mention it. We'll mention it on our Facebook pages and talk about it next week. But Fox markedly ignores things that the president of the United States does. And of course they used to cover everything that Trump ever did inch by inch by inch when he was the president, no matter how truly trivial it was. So, you know, Britt, we just have a bifurcated media. You know that?
Wasn't there a thing early on, at least in the Trump administration, where they would not have live pictures from like him meeting with world leaders or something, and they would get it like 2 minutes or 3 minutes later or something like that? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There was something weird about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There was. And I know what you're talking about.
He would meet with people or whatever, and they go, well, the president's just, and we're going to have pictures for you in just about 2 minutes. And they would like stall, tap dance, vamp, vamp, vamp. And then eventually they get some, you know, him and Netanyahu or whoever it was, they would have somebody and they finally get it.
Well, because NBC insisted on that so they could edit out any Jesus references.
That's what it was. Because with Netanyahu, the Jesus references would have been coming hard and fast. They would have just been unbelievable.
Okay, the real difference between Democrats and Republicans. The other day, and I know we probably haven't mentioned his name more than once in the last 6 months, former Republican primary presidential candidate Asia Hutchinson, who'd been a congressman and I think the governor of Arkansas. Oh, yeah. And by the way, here's another thing that must be wiped out forever. Should never, if I ran the world. Okay.
Okay. I'm ready.
You ready? People using the modifying term for some reason, and they can't help it, the great state of blank, the great state of New York, the great state of Arkansas. Why? No.
Well, no. I think if
they Governor Hutchins,
if they do that, they need to identify the mediocre states. They need to do that. They need to go, here's the governor of the okay state.
Everybody gets a trophy. All states are great. The great state of Maryland, the great state of Ohio, the great state of North Carolina. That's where Joe Biden went. Stop doing it. And they can't.
They can't stop. But please get back to the Asa Hutchinson thing, because I think this is maybe the fakest story, at least of the last couple of days.
Right. Asa Hutchinson decides no mas, he's done, and the Democratic National Committee press secretary, okay, this is the DNC, responded to Asa Hutchinson's decision to leave the race with a little snark. This news comes as a shock to those of us who could have sworn he'd already dropped out. Now, if Jimmy Kimmel says it, it gets a laugh, or okay, we didn't even know you were still in it. Okay, so that passes for the ability of Republicans to get outraged at the disrespect, the hate shown. Okay, the hate shown.
But then it goes further, because there was an apology.
Exactly, that's the point. Here we go. And by the way, the DNC didn't do the apology.
Right.
The White House
apologized
to Asa Hutchinson. So is this a sign of weakness? Is it a sign of decency? Is it a, and it goes without saying that on the scale of 1 to 100, Trump's remarks on anything usually being well above 80. This is a 0.2, right?
Right.
And hardly needed to be apologized for, certainly by a different person or entity that made the original remark, if in fact there was going to be an apology for something that didn't need to be apologized for. So to me, this is the difference in spades between Democrats and Republicans. On the other hand, I'm sorry, I agree. This is a sign of weakness, because somebody gets offended somewhere. Here's a Democratic something, an institution, in this case, the fucking White House, apologizing for that comment. I'm sorry. This is not how you win elections. This is not how you show you're tough. In the world that we live in now, that's been ruined by you know who and you know what.
Right.
Toughness wins out over decency. And this isn't a question of even being indecent. There was nothing indecent about the original remark. We didn't even know you were still in the race. Ha, 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 ha.
Plus, he gets no style points. The president gets no style points for sucking it up and apologizing. Nobody's ever going to go, you know, I really thought Joe Biden was a piece of shit and he's running this country, but I have changed my mind since that apology to Asa Hutchinson. This is not happening.
You know who did the apology? The chief of staff.
Yeah. Yeah, at the behest of the president.
Chief of staff. Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's weakness. I think Joe Biden does stuff just because he's a decent guy. He's a decent guy. He doesn't see the necessarily do everything for political gain. Now, he's a politician. He's been a politician most of my life. So he does do certain things for political gain. There's no question about it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you everything is just weighed this way. And I look to the Book of Solomon. No, I'm not going to tell you that shit. But I also think that sometimes he goes, that was kind of unneeded and that was unnecessary. Why don't you go ahead and bust out a call to Asa and tell him we're, you know, sorry.
Yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. You know, you never get in trouble really for doing the right thing, even if it's kind of unnecessary to even do the right thing. Here's the statement. President Biden has deep respect for Governor Hutchinson and admires the race that he ran. The call from the White House is not necessary, but still appreciated. We can disagree without demonizing. That was Hutchinson's response on X. So they're all good with it now.
He's a decent guy. He's a pretty decent guy. I'm gonna say I don't agree with his policies and stuff, but he's not an asshole like DeSantis and Trump and so many and Ted Cruz and so many other Republicans.
Who is the governor of the great state of Arkansas? Oh, excuse me, of the state of Arkansas now?
Oh, who is it now? It's that I can't remember. Oh, it's stupid. The old press secretary, whatever her name. Sarah Huckabee. Sarah Huckabee, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I'm sorry. But you know what? I just insulted her, didn't I?
That was terrible.
Like using her. It's like using her Indian name by not giving her. So I apologize if anyone was offended by me not using her full name there.
I think showing Trump's full speech like on some other places is good if they can go ahead and do that racist shit that he's doing with Nikki Haley, if they can capture some of that. I think that's pretty helpful.
Yeah, but you have to be pointing it out while it's happening because
it's unbelievable. Do the Alina Haba situation as Trump's legal problems continue to spiral out of control.
All right. this was the third day during a cross-examination of E. Jean Carroll. Alina Haba asked E. Jean Carroll whether the verdict last year that found Donald Trump liable for sexual abuse against E. Jean Carroll gave her a, quote, greater status in the New York media circle. In New York media circles, if you want to say it that way, which is another version of Trump. And you've heard it 1,000 times. Anybody that's ever challenged him or attacked him or written a book, they're just doing it to sell books. They're just doing it to get famous off of my name. So in court today, his lawyer asked E. Jean Carroll if, this was just a status-seeking thing, which a lot of women do that. A lot of women accuse famous guys of rape to get famous. Things went off the rails when Alina Haba demanded to know if Carroll spoke with media outlets deemed, quote, left-leaning platforms. E. Jean Carroll's defense immediately objected to the question. Judge Kaplan immediately sustained their concerns, but not before getting into a back and forth with Alina Haba. I will be both people, Haba. And you've been on left-leaning platforms. E. Jean Carroll's lawyer says, objection. The judge says, sustained. Haba says, are they left-leaning? Kaplan says, did you not hear me? Haba said, you went on TV. E. Jean Carroll says, yeah, to say that we won this milestone case. In other words, because E. Jean Carroll went on CNN and MSNBC, I'm sure that's what she's referring to again, that's proof of something because she was talking about the case after it was over, right? And that was yesterday, and that was today, and today is gone. One question today, however, is said to have destroyed the argument that E. Jean Carroll had it in for Donald Trump long before she brought the defamation case. And this is according to Joyce Vance, who's a professor of law at the University of Alabama. So her lawyer, E. Jean Carroll's lawyer, asked this. Did any of the tweets before Donald Trump's statement call you a Democratic operative or say that you should be raped? E. Jean Carroll said, no, neither. So that demolishes Alina Haba's argument that the damage to E. Jean Carroll's reputation had already been done before Trump defamed her in 2019. Because if you remember the last few days, E. Jean Carroll has said this has destroyed her reputation. What's been going on the last couple years that resulted in one, now two defamation cases. And I would say there's already enough fodder that Trump has put out on the table the last few days for there to be a third one, right? And of course, this didn't become a thing until E. Jean Carroll said something, anything. And she did have a good reputation. And anybody that lived in the New York area that saw her on TV or read her in New York Magazine knows that there was absolutely nothing wrong with her. She's considered a really good, funny, articulate writer and decent person. You know, there's no question about it. But, you know, when you got no defense, what do? You make shit up. Yeah. And if you're the lawyer for the guy that has no defense, you got to make shit up so that he's happy with you, right?
Yeah.
So there it is.
Meanwhile, in other Trump legal news, a judge has ordered a hearing in the Georgia case. This is about the accusations that have been slung around by Donald Trump and his team that Fannie Willis has had some sort of improper relationship with the lead prosecutor, some guy named Nathan. The judge has said there will be a hearing on this. That has to be considered, even though I feel like they're going to look into it and dismiss it out of hand and it's not going to go any further. That has to be considered somewhat of a win for the Trump legal team.
Oh, because it's a delay.
Yeah.
It's a delay. And you know, it's like football. You get down to the last few minutes and your team only has one timeout and you're not allowed to call more than one timeout. But I guess in Trump's case, it just doesn't matter how many timeouts he calls. He keeps getting them, right? They don't flag him. They don't penalize him. He can just keep throwing shit out onto the floor and hope that it just delays the proceedings. But I think we have to look at it this way. Let's pretend for a moment here that all of Trump's delaying tactics, all of them, are successful through the spring and the summer. And then we get to this point in the fall where they go, oh, 60-day rule, 60-day rule, can't do anything for 60 days before the election. Okay. And so even trials that were about to ensue are put on hold. And so candidate Trump campaigning around the country or whatever is able to say, I haven't been convicted of anything. Which, by the way, he already has been in the E. Jean Carroll original defamation case. He was already found to be guilty of sexual assault, but he'll pretend he wasn't and just say, they haven't gotten me on anything. I've been indicted more than Alphonse Capone.
You were trying to say Alphonse D'Amato, weren't you?
Yeah.
Your mouth wanted to go in a different direction.
But even if he's successful at delaying things, I don't think that this expands his base. And no matter how fervent people are when they talk about their support for Donald Trump as a religious figure, however you want to characterize him, they can't reproduce themselves. What is that called when you can reproduce yourself without having a it starts with an A and I can't remember the word. But you can, you know, you don't need to have sex to reproduce yourself. There are only so many.
Yes? Asexual reproduction.
Okay. I'll accept that. they can't produce more of themselves to be more fervent and vote more for Donald Trump. And those in that next circle of supporters and beyond that, they may not say it, but they're not going to claim victory or more love for Donald Trump because he's been able to delay all of these trials through legal gymnastics, through maneuvers, through loopholes. They're not. And by the way, it won't just be us on a goofy podcast pointing this out.
Correct.
It won't be that. And if there are presidential debates, of which I give the chances that there'll be any, about 1 in 10 at best. I don't think there are going to be any because they're both happy to not have to face each other. Joe Biden, because
that'll be
He's Joe Biden.
That's now, very interesting.
Yeah, I don't think
that's
there'll
an
be
interesting
any.
Interesting proposition because, like,
no way.
Trump's ego is so massive that he would be like, I got to get this because I think, I don't know if he's been able to convince himself that he beat Joe Biden in those debates in 2020. I don't think he's been able to do that, even as good a liar as he is to himself and a denier of reality.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I just don't, I think it's just all going to fall apart. I don't think that there are going to be any debates. But I just don't see that there's anything but diminishing returns of Donald Trump's abilities and his lawyer's abilities to mess things up enough so that legal proceedings don't move forward until after the election. Now, will that anger his people? Will he deny the results of the election if he loses? Well, I don't think there's much doubt about that. I mean, he's already laid the groundwork for the fix is in, right?
Even in the primary.
He's already laid the groundwork for the fix is in New Hampshire next week.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't wait for that. I just want to see how, like, Nikki Haley and her people deal with that shit.
Well, she's running such a shitty campaign. And she's so weak, and she's acting as if she doesn't really care that much.
Yeah.
You know, that she's preserving whatever plausible deniability she has in case Trump does win. I don't know if she thinks he's going to make her vice president or something like that. Not with a name like that, Britt.
I think she's as legitimate a candidate as anybody. I just
Britt. No. Same reason. Hey, Vivek learned the lesson in the end, didn't he?
Yeah, if he would have just
the lesson you talked about a lot. You talked about it a lot.
I did. Well, if he would have just been like Jim Ramaswamy, you know, I don't know if that would have helped him out or not.
Would it have been okay for him to come out in whiteface?
He should have done the Hollywood thing where he changes himself to something completely like he should have been like Jim Ramey or something like that. And, oh, okay, well, it's Jim Ramey. Before we get out of here, just wanted to get ahead of this one. You heard about the tragic death of Dejan Milojevic, the Golden State Warriors assistant coach, who died at the age of 46. That. I believe the team has released the information that he had a heart attack. So for you crazy COVID vaccine is killing people and you have relatives and friends in your life, this will be the guy that they concentrate on, the guy that they never heard of up until about 48 hours ago. This will be they're going to put this in the category of folks that have been killed by the vaccine. Just wanted to prepare you for a heads up if you're going to talk to friends or relatives this weekend who were into that thing. You know, that vaccine killing millions of people.
Well, I haven't heard otherwise.
I haven't heard it yet, when will it become a mainstream opinion among these kooks, among the Donald Trump MAGAs, that this vaccine has killed more people than the Nazis did the Jews in World War II? When do you think that's going to happen?
You know, I bet you if you looked, you'd probably be able to already find that somewhere.
It's probably somewhere. Like,
it's probably Fauci somewhere.
That makes sense. Fauci's the new Hitler. He's killed more people than Hitler ever did. That makes sense.